to all listeners. It gives me great honor and pleasure to introduce the subjects Bible and Science to listeners who are living in different parts of this world. Since the dawn of civilization, secular man was trying to solve the intricate problems of nature to find out the truth behind the universe. In his attempt to find out the truth, he conducted experiments, observations, and inferences. This method led him to conclusions. Conclusions led him to accumulated knowledge. This accumulated knowledge is later known as science. The accumulated knowledge became so vast that man was constrained to divide it in different branches of science, namely chemistry, physics, mathematics, biology, etc. The approach he made in science is to prove something and then believe it. Belief led him to faith. The faith is enunciated in the forms of laws. Thus, laws came into existence in science. The first law in science enunciated was conservation of matter, which says matter can neither be created nor be destroyed. This law was believed up to 19th century, but Einstein changed the above law by introducing conservation of energy. He said matter can be converted into energy and energy can be converted into matter, and the relationship has been established by introducing an equation E is equal to mc squared, where E is the energy and m is the mass and c is the velocity of the light. Thus, visible and invisible nature of matter are established irrevocably in science. Energy thus became the basic building block upon which science has been built. Thus, energy became the god of science. There are different forms of energy: electrical energy, gravitational energy, mechanical energy, light energy, heat energy, etc. All forms of energy can be converted into heat energy. So, scientists concentrated their attention on heat energy and enunciated three important laws under the caption Laws of Thermodynamics. All scientists believe in the laws of thermodynamics, and they came to conclusion that any branch of accumulated knowledge, if it cannot be evaluated in terms of three laws of thermodynamics, it will remain as a theory and it will never be a part of science. Why do we call Darwin's findings as Darwin's theory? Because his findings are not in agreement with the three laws of thermodynamics. Thus, thermodynamics became the basic building blocks to all branches of science. These three laws can be stated as follows: first law of thermodynamics, second law of thermodynamics, and third law of thermodynamics. Now, thereby it has been established that matter is the visible form and energy is the invisible form. Now, the law of conservation of mass has been changed to law of conservation of energy, and thus energy is established as the invisible expression of visible matter. Or in other words, matter which is in solid, liquid, and gaseous states are really the expressions of invisible energy. Now let us turn our attention to Bible. We know that the approach scientists used in science is prove it and then believe it. But Bible's approach is just opposite to it. Believe it and then prove it. Science does not say about the source of energy, but Bible only gives the answer. Bible added one more word to energy, that is word God. Bible says God is the father of all lights and all forms of energy, and the whole universe was created by energy, by his energy, or the power of God. When we turn to Jeremiah chapter 10 verses 10 through 12, we can see this principle which is established there in the Bible, where it is written that God made the earth and the universe by his energy or power. Difference between Bible and science is lying in the fact that Bible replaced the word energy by the word God. Bible is the law enunciated by God. Bible also says about the dual nature of matter, visible and invisible nature of matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, where it is read that things which are visible are temporary and things which are invisible are permanent and eternal. But science was not aware of the dual nature of matter up to 19th century. In the beginning of 20th century, the great scientist Einstein irrevocably established that matter possesses dual character. De Broglie, another scientist, stated the relationship between the two nature in the following definition. Particle nature of matter is inversely proportional to wave nature. Particle nature is the visible nature of matter, and the wave nature is the invisible nature of matter. Particle nature is represented by momentum of particle by multiplying mass by velocity. Wave nature is represented by lambda. Thus, the relationship has been established as lambda is equal to h by momentum, that is mv, where h is a constant, what is known as Planck's constant. That means invisible nature lambda is inversely proportional to particle nature. When particle nature is decreasing, wave nature is increasing. Or in other words, when the wave nature is increasing, particle nature is diminishing. But prior to this law, Bible says that dual nature, says about the dual nature of man. Swedenborg said, man consists of visible man, that is outer man, and invisible man, inner man. And he said, the outer man is inversely proportional to inner man, who is invisible. It can be expressed in a similar equation, that inner man is equal to constant, because Christ is same yesterday, today and forever. Therefore, the equation can be established as follows. Inner man is equal to constant Christ by outer man. Outer man stands for the visible form of matter, man, and the inner man is the invisible form of man. When the outer man dies, inner man will be equal to Christ if he obeys the principles of Bible. That is why Paul is saying that we're absent from body, present with Christ. Similarly, parallel laws concerning outer man and inner man is given in Bible and science, which are found amazing when we see the similarity between these laws. Now let us compare some examples. The thermodynamic laws can be discussed one by one. The first law of thermodynamics can be defined in common man's language as follows. First law of thermodynamics: energy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Bible says a similar law about God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it is read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now God also has dual nature, invisible nature. God is invisible, but he was expressed in the visible form in the person Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2:2, verse 9, says that Christ is the exact visible expression of invisible God. So here also, the dual nature of God is established. That is, invisible God and visible God. An invisible God can be expressed only in the person visible Jesus Christ. That is why Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thermodynamics says energy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the difference between the first law of thermodynamics and Bible? The only difference between two words in thermodynamics, God is replaced by the term energy, but in Bible, energy is replaced by God. See, the same law was given thousands and thousands of years in the scripture inspired by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, therefore, if anybody wants to study science, he has to believe that energy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. By faith, every scientist believes so. In a similar way, anybody wants to study Bible, he has to believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is one of the prerequisites needed to have faith in God. Now in science, we have to prove something and then believe it. But in Bible, we have to believe something and then prove it. Two approaches are there, but they are diametrically opposite to each other. When we compare the second law of thermodynamics, the second law can be defined in many definitions in physics and chemistry. In chemistry, it is defined as it is impossible for certain amount of heat to be converted into completely work without making changes elsewhere. Then a similar law is found in physics also. But in common man's language, the second law of thermodynamics can be defined as follows. If an order is to be originated out of chaos and confusion, that is from disorder, another order is to be sacrificed. I repeat, if an order is to be originated out of chaos and confusion, that is from disorder, another order is to be sacrificed. Now, why Darwin's theory is remaining as theory only? It is never accepted as a part of science. Why? Because according to this second law, his first statement in his theory, this can be quoted as follows: life is originated spontaneously from chaos and confusion in an isolated system without anybody's help. This is contradicting the second law of thermodynamics. Nothing in the nature can happen in that way. That is the reason why Darwin's findings are remaining as theory only. Now, when we examine the second law to various aspects of our daily life, the second law is to be obeyed in all points in letter and spirit. Electricity can be produced from waterfalls, where waterfalls is dying for producing electricity. Now, same is true with many affairs of this world. For example, if a tree is to be blossomed from a seed, the seed has to die. If the seed is not dying, the plant will never come out. A sacrifice is behind the growth of a plant. Same is true everywhere. Now, an order is to be sacrificed if another order is to be emerged from disorder and chaos. The same is the principle that is used in the Word of God, Bible. The sum and substance of Bible is this: when man dies, he will be in the highest disorder of his system. From the highest disorder of the system, how the dead man can be brought back to life? That is the greatest problem of man. Once a man dies, no method can be applied to bring him back to life. But the remedy is given in Bible. If a dead man, that is, when he is in disorder, he can be raised back to life, to eternal life, when another eternal order is sacrificed behind it. If a dead man is to be raised back to life, that is, to eternal life, another order, that is Jesus Christ, must be crucified on the cross. That is the second law of Bible. The second law of Bible is very similar to the second law of thermodynamics. No contradiction is arise there. Second law is complementary to the biblical law. The greatest illustration ever made for the elucidation of the second law of thermodynamics is found on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died for all sinners. The sinners can be brought back to life, to eternal life, only by a sacrifice made by God. The visible expression of God came to this sinful earth and died on the cross to raise the sinners to eternal life. This is the second law of Bible. Nothing is contradicting the second law of thermodynamics. One is complementary to the other. Now, the third law of thermodynamics can be defined in common man's language as follows. There is a paradise for matter where all forms of matter will be in their perfect crystalline states provided they are placed at absolute zero. This is the definition given in physics and chemistry book. Now you know that there are four different states of matter. Matter can be in solid form, that is the perfect form of solid, perfect form of matter. But solid can be changed to liquid when it goes to disorder. When the disorder is increasing, liquid will be changed to gaseous state. When more will be the disorder, when it is superheated, the electrons from the atoms of the gaseous substance will be deprived of and the disorder will be maximum. That is known as plasma state. In other words, matter has got one perfect state, that is heaven for matter, that is solid state, and it has got an hell, that is plasma state. What does it represent? Now, man is also related to different states of affairs while he is living on the face of the earth. He has to remain for 10 months in mother's stomach, that is one state of affair. As far as his life on the face of the earth is concerned, that is the perfect state on the face of the earth. But he has to come out from the womb of the mother and he has to remain here at least for 80 years on the face of the earth. But that is not the end of it. His body will be buried in a grave, but the inner man has to go either to hell or heaven. That is what Bible says. Now, different states of matter is actually pointing towards the different states of man. See the complementary factors in these two cases. There is a hell for man, for the inner man, and at the same time there is a heaven for man also. This third law tells us that there is a paradise for matter, provided the matter is kept at absolute zero. At absolute zero, there is no gas, no plasma states, no liquid states. All matter will be in perfect crystalline state. In a similar way, Jesus said that I am going to prepare a paradise for you where there is no more tears, no more pain, no more deaths, and no more funeral, and you will be collected one day in paradise where I am. Now see the three laws of Bible and three laws of science, thermodynamics. Now it is not contradictory to each other, but they are complementary to each other. Now see the importance of the scripture in the light of science. In the light of science, you cannot say that a scripture is wrong. It is given to us by God through Holy Spirit. It is inerrant word of God. It will never can be go wrong. It is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, whenever you check the scientific laws and evaluate the biblical account in the stipulated scientific laws, you cannot find any contradiction. Now take another case, Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Now there is a very important law for a student who is supposed to study the structure of atom. What it says, In common man's language, this principle can be stated as follows. In common man's language, it can be stated as follows. If we know where a body is at a particular instant, and if we also know its velocity and the force acting on it at that instant, we can tell where the body would be after some time. I repeat, if we know where a body is at a particular instant, and if we also know its velocity and force acting on it at that particular instant, we can tell where the body would be sometime later. Now the same law is given in Bible with regard to the inner man. When we turn to Romans chapter 8 verse 1, it is written like this: if you are in Christ now, the position is mentioned. If you know the position of the inner man, it is mentioned like this: if you are in Christ now, and the force of the Holy Spirit is acting upon you, you will be with Jesus Christ after your death. See the similarity. If you know the position of a particular person while he is living on the face of the earth, if he is in Christ at a particular instant, and the force that is acting upon him is Holy Spirit, definitely he can be assured that he'll be with Jesus Christ when he faces death. I repeat, if you are in Christ now, at this particular instant, and the force of Holy Spirit is acting upon you, you will be with Jesus Christ after your death. In biblical terms, therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who move not after the flesh. That means not after the evil spirit, but after the Holy Spirit. I repeat, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who move not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest law ever made in science. See, when you think of anything around us which is moving, with anything, any body here on the face of the earth, if you know its position at a particular instant, and if you know the force acting on it, and also the velocity of the force, definitely you can say where would be the body after some time. The same principle is mentioned with regard to man concerning his future. After his life on the face of the earth, he has to go either to hell or to heaven. If you are not in Christ, you are outside Christ, and the force acting upon you is not the spirit of the Holy Spirit. You are acted upon by the evil spirit. Of all persons who are outside Christ are really at peril. You see, it is very dangerous to remain outside the realm of Jesus Christ. Perfectly it is said in Bible and also in Heisenberg principle. If you are now in Christ, and if you are acted upon by the Holy Spirit, and if you are led by the Holy Spirit, definitely you can say, after finishing your life here on the face of the earth, definitely you can say that I will be with Jesus Christ after my death. But if not, what happens? There is two states of affairs for man when he leaves the earth. Either he has to go to hell, that is the plasma state. Otherwise he has to go to the paradise. If you are not in Christ, if you are outside Christ, and the force acting upon you is the spirit of the flesh, that is the evil spirit, the satanic spirit, definitely you will be dashed and crushed and doomed in the fiery furnace of hell. Now, listeners, these are truths. You cannot contradict this. Bible is the word of God. It will never go away. Heaven and earth may go away, but nothing will go away from the word of God. Now again, if you turn to Newton's law and biblical law, parallel laws can be seen in Bible also. Newton said once in his autobiography that all the laws of motion had been dictated to me by the Holy Spirit. You believe it or not, it is in the history book. Now what the first law says? The first law says that a body continues in its present state of rest or motion in a straight line unless acted upon by external force. I repeat, let us consider Newton's law and similar biblical laws in Bible. The first law of Newton can be defined as follows. A body continues in its present state of rest or motion in a straight line unless acted upon by external force. The same principle has been mentioned in Bible by Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 verse 24 and 36. If a man is continuing his sin, he will die in sin. If Christ who came from outside heaven, outside that is heaven, is not made him free. I repeat, man will continue in his present state of sin and die in sin if Christ who came from outside, that is from heaven, is not made him free. Christ is an external force. The inertia of the sin is mentioned in the Bible. Man is a sinner. If the man is continuing in his sin, he cannot save himself from sin. He will continue in sin and finally die in sin. If he dies in his own sin, he'll be taken into the hell. Therefore, an external force has to come, that is from heaven, to save him from hell. That is why Jesus, the expression of the invisible God, came in this sinner earth and was born in a borrowed manger and buried in a borrowed grave and died on a cross according to second law of thermodynamics. And also, you know that he is the one who is saving the sinner from his sin. And he'll be taken to heaven, and and his change is inevitable and indispensable when he believes in Jesus Christ. I repeat, therefore, the first law once again. According to Newton's law, a body continues in its present state of rest. Understand it. A body that is connected with matter, a body continues in its present state of rest or motion in a straight line unless acted upon by external force. Same is the principle mentioned in Bible also. A man will continue in his present state of sin and die in sin if Christ who came from outside, that is from heaven, is not made him free. Nobody can contradict this. The outside man, that is, outside body of a man, is taken from the earth. He is made up of from 22 elements of this earth. And that is the outer man who is visible to sustain his body live on the face of the earth. One finisher is to be adopted. That is, he has to inhale oxygen daily. That is 128 cubic foot of oxygen every day. Now, oxygen is the one, he is the savior of the outside body. If oxygen is not saving the man, he will die. You know that there are so many gases in the universe other than oxygen. Hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, methyl isocyanate, xenon, krypton, radon, etc. All are gas. You cannot adopt any philosophy there. All are gas. One of them is enough for us. You cannot say like that. Among all these gases, you can choose only oxygen for sustaining your outside body. In a similar way, for the salvation of the inner man, there are so many religious leaders around the world. You cannot accept any one of them. Only you can accept Jesus Christ, because no other name is given under heaven other than Jesus Christ to save you from sin. It is well established. Dear brothers and sisters who are hearing me, now this is the day of salvation. Please remember, if you are not with Christ, if you are a sinner, if you are not seeking the help of Jesus Christ to escape from sin, you will be doomed and dashed in the fiery furnace of hell. Only way of escape is through Jesus. He is the outside force that came from heaven. You have to believe on Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. Now, what does second law of Newton say? Second law of Newton says like this: rate of change of momentum of a body is proportional to the applied force and takes place in the direction of the force. Now, second law, you know, Columbia shuttle was safe until it was hit by a broken portion, that is about 2 pounds on one of the wings of Columbia shuttle. The rate of change of momentum had been changed and finally resulted in chaos and confusion and annihilation finally. In a similar way, your spiritual character, the spirituality of a spiritual man, the momentum, rate of change of a spiritual man is depending on the power which is impinged on you by the Holy Spirit. And if you are not progressing in the direction of the Holy Spirit, your rate of change of momentum will be directed to annihilation. Now, Bible, what Bible says about the second law, which is very similar to second law of Newton? The rate of change of spiritual momentum of a person is directly proportional to the power empowered on him and will be led in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1:8, Romans chapter 8 verse 9, Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. All these amount to the same meaning. If you refer to these portions, you can see the second law, which is very similar to the second law of Newton. Now, what does the third law of Newton say? The third law of Newton says like this: to every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. What does Bible say about it? We read like this: and God will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and eternal life, but unto them that contentious and do not obey the truth, there will be indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish, and annihilation. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, Colossians chapter 3, verse 25, James chapter 2, verse 16, for to him who has shown no mercy, the judgment will be merciless. To every action, there is an opposite reaction. We have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day after finishing our life here on the face of the earth. We will be get an equal reward for our actions on the face of the earth. See the similarities between scientific laws and biblical laws. The scientific laws are given to us to study the Bible in a perfect way and come to a perfect conclusion whereby we can secure our salvation. Those listeners who are listening to me must study your Bible perfectly, considering it as the perfect gift of God ever given by God to man. May the good Lord bless you abundantly above all that we ask, and you find your salvation in Christ and secure your life by finding the truth given in the Bible. Thank you.